All right, here comes the intro. Music lovers, I'm Brock White.
I'm Luke Jansky.
And we want to know, what are you listening to? How's it going, Luke?
It's going good. Been a little under the weather for the past couple of days, but we're struggling
it's
through.
It's that time of year, you know, the seasons are changing a little bit. You got cold and warm and humidity in the air and the whole deal and moisture, and you get the head cold and
It's not fun. I wanted to get it out of the way early, so I'm kind of happy.
That's good. I was nervous because some people I knew had got a cold last week. And I've been doing some traveling this past week, and I was going around. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a cold, and I'm going to be driving and going to stuff and going to see my guy Garth Brooks again, who I saw this past Sunday.
How many times is that now?
That was my 10th time seeing Garth Brooks. Yeah, and it's been – first time I saw him was seven – it would be 10 years ago this November, the first time I saw Garth Brooks in Kansas City, that poster I got there on the wall of my studio here. I saw him November 07. That was my 10th time seeing Garth, and he has this way – you know, a lot of people think, oh, okay, Garth Brooks, he's pretty special live and pretty special in general. I mean, he's the best-selling male solo artist of all time in any genre. Elvis, anybody, he's sold more
records. More than MJ?
Yeah.
Really?
Than Michael, yeah, anybody.
That's, I did not know that.
Yeah, he has seven albums at diamond platinum status, which is unheard of. And they say in some charts he's more than the Beatles, but he thinks the Beatles are all-time above him, of course, but... Well, yeah. So, but yeah, he's live 10 times and he always manages to do something that is different each concert I see him at, whether it's playing a song like a B-side for us, interacting with the crowd a certain way. He gave a young girl his cowboy hat at the end of the show this time. And it's funny because there's, 15,000 people in this arena, right? And he comes out for an encore. Light them up. Let's see those signs. I want to play these requests. And he starts playing requests off signs, little snippets. He play like a verse and a chorus and be done. This guy's got a sign that says, "That summer saved my life." And Garth just starts talking to him. But then while he's talking to him, he just has this conversation, just him and that guy. And everyone else has no clue what's going on, but he's just in the moment, And that's the cool thing about Garth. He finds a way to make everyone in the building feel like the show's just for you.
I saw Garth... Okay, this would have been 20-some years ago.
You saw him at the peak.
Yeah, I saw him. He was in Bismarck. It had been 91, 92. I think it was right before Pieces came out, I want to say.
Okay. Early 90s?
Yeah, anyway. But I don't remember much, but that's the one thing I remember. I remember feeling very part of the show.
Yeah.
And it was loud.
It was my sister's first Garth concert she ever saw.
Okay.
She's never seen Garth Brooks before. So I told her ahead of time, I'm like, I want you to tell me at the end of this concert how you feel, but in my opinion, you're going to feel something today when you see Garth, because he manages to make it feel like it's just for you, like it's just you and him in this room, and the concert's all about you, even though it's not, but you get that feeling when he's all said and done, and that was just because your connection with the artist and the music, and she felt the same way when it was all done, said and done, the exact same way, which is cool.
I thought about when you go to concerts, I sit and think about it. I think that happens, and because I kind of wanted to be there too. And I was watching, and I was trying to think of a good way to equate when I've seen him and all the live stuff I've seen him at. And the best way I can describe Garth, as far as how he is, like you were talking with people in his interaction, is: do you remember that Big Queen live? That Live Aid, I think, is what it was.
Freddie Mercury does the. He runs the scales of the voice and everyone sings along and cuts him off. Yeah, does the whole deal,
And Garth Brooks is one of the few people I've ever seen that doesn't do it as well, if not better, as like engaging a crowd and making everyone feel like he's just so there and just he's like a part of the crowd, you know?
And because he talks about it, he says, I was that kid that paid all the money I had to go see my favorite bands, to go see Bob Seger and go see Kiss and go see... Randy Travis and George Strait. I was that guy paying money to sit in the nosebleeds. And I thought, if I had the chance to be that guy, how could I interact with everyone in the building? Well, he found a way. He's one of a kind.
Well, and back to the Freddie Mercury thing, Garth does it too, where it's just like he doesn't even need to say anything. His overall body language and how he looks at the crowd is enough to know that it's all us.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I was kind of
And the big the big thing
at.
With Garth now too is on the second leg. After retirement, he came back as everyone's there for the greatest hit stuff. You know, we're there, the river that summer, the dance, Friends in Low Places, and the whole building, everyone knows every word to every song, and they sing along.
Right.
And it's almost funny because first I saw him in Kansas City was his first show back in 7 years after his semi-retirement. He did 9 shows there, and he was done again for a few more years. And after every song, we had to stop for applause because the place was going insane.
Right.
The building was shaking after every song. Like the security guards were holding on to the railings because the plexiglass was shaking in the railings and stuff. That's how crazy it was after every single song he did. And it's still that way now because a lot of people are seeing him for the first time in 20 years, or they're taking their kids for the first time to see him. I mean, there's people there with grandkids that are seeing him now. He's been around that long, and he's took a break too. So it's really cool, the way after every song he gets done, he unhooks the guitar strap, moves it to the side, and puts his arms out, takes his cowboy hat off, and the place erupts, and he just soaks it up, and everyone's just loving the moment.
You know, and it's funny, like you said earlier, Garth is one of those guys that, you know, people either love him or you hear the whole, Garth, whatever. And that's such a testament to, like, how big he was and is.
Yeah.
Because how do I explain this? You can't, if you were to go to that show, anybody in the world, whether they like Garth or not, and they were to have a few drinks with their friends, there was a song that got played that they would have had a moment where they would have sang along and been like, this is good. This is great. I think it's a testament to how great Garth is that even though you hear
people, I think some people that are younger now or maybe just didn't pay attention back then forget how big he really was.
I remember.
It was Garth pandemonium all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there was the famous 24-hour autograph session at CMA Fest one time. He signed autographs for a whole day. He didn't stop. He made sure everyone got an autograph signed. People camped out for tickets. He sold out just like now. He sold out 9-10 shows in one shot in one town over 7-8 days, you know.
And we can bring up a crap ton of artists from that area in the country, but like Shania Twain and Garth Brooks.
1-2 punch.
Holy crap.
And they changed the game, too. They really changed the game.
That's what I was getting at. They changed country music.
Yeah. What's funny, because, like, people nowadays, like, I hate to go there again, but it's taking us right there. Bro country. It always goes there. Well, people that defend it say, well, Garth Brooks was back in the 90s. He's pretty traditional sounding to this day, what he put on the records. Sure, he had kind of rock and roll influence in his live show, but on the records, still guitar, fiddles, pretty traditional country at its core.
Well, and my thing with the bro country thing is, and it's not for me,
I can't believe we're going there again. But it's like, fine. It just kind of comes up organically talking about it. Because,
and the reason is, for me, when you listen to, like, my favorite Garth song is Much Too Young.
Mine too.
That is
The River, Much Too Young, and That Summer. Those are my top three.
And I'd say Baton Rouge if I've had a couple drinks and it comes on the jukebox. Those songs had a depth and a meaning to them and an earnestness to them, and they felt like they came from a genuine place, even though they weren't technically traditional country back then. Where bro country for me, it should almost have a different genre.
It's soulless, I think. It doesn't have a lot of soul to it.
It feels like it was created in a lab.
Yeah.
We talked about this last week, and this is a better time.
Bro country is Applebee's and TGI Friday. Garth Brooks is the best steakhouse in the world that's handcrafted.
That's what I was getting at last week. You know, like, here's what it is. Bro country, if you listen to it, that's not bad, and that's good. Like, there's lots of music that I listen to that is very just generated pop that I enjoy.
Meant to make you tap your foot and move along and not think about it too much.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
Yep.
But I look at it as, like, I call it McDonald's music.
Yeah.
McDonald's is great. It's tasty, but it's not a good diet.
And you shouldn't eat it every day.
Yeah.
But if you are, more power to you, I guess, if you're out there eating Big Macs every day. But eventually, you know, I need to come home and make a big steak dinner or make a roast or have a salad, you know, or something, I guess.
Drink some water. you know?
Walk around the block, enjoy myself.
Exactly. So it's to wrap it up, I'm not saying bro country is the worst thing ever. I'm just saying that's why I have a tough time with it, because I just can't. It's just everywhere, and I can only eat so much McDonald's.
Sometime we'll do an episode and it won't come up. But it's just, I think it's beyond even our feelings about it. It is one of the most dominant conversation pieces in the music business right now. It really is. It's a lightning rod, because you're either on one side of it or the other side. There's not much middle ground with bro country. And people, it's discussed every day on blogs, forum posts, Rolling Stone. People talk about how it's affecting the industry every single day. So it's We don't try to bring it up, but it's like, it's right there. You have to almost discuss the elephant in the room sometimes.
It's, we're at a very, wouldn't have been, I think, for the past, and it's come to a head, but for the past, probably since about 2008, music's been coming to, all this has been coming to a head. It's a very, we're in a turning point in music, and Bro Country is at the focal point of
it. We're in a turning point on the way you make money in music, the way music is made, how you get in the business. It's all changing. And I don't think we know the final destination yet, and it always evolves, right? But I think where we're at right now, I think there's one more big turn to be made to where we get to.
Yeah, we're just, it's important. Well, how would I put this? Bro Country, like we grew up on artists, and the people we gravitate to are artists, whether it's a band or just an artist, but people that even if they sit down and write with people, it's a part of the artist, of the music that we like. It's something very genuine, and it comes from a certain place of inspiration or whatever. At Bro Country, most of that stuff is seven of the same dudes sitting in a room every day. They show up there like it's their job, and they show up with their guitars in hand, and they go to a room, and they say, this is what's going to make us money, and they do it. Yep. And you can tell, I don't know if you've seen those YouTube videos where they like match together the past like 10 biggest country songs.
And it's all the same song.
It sounds like the same song. Chord progressions,
everything,
Yep.
And it's
tough to swallow when you like music.
Also, I hate to like be negative about those guys and what they do, because they're making a lot of money, and obviously they know what people want to hear. But the fact that it takes seven guys to write, you know, you've got those blue jeans on so tight. It's like, okay.
What's that Bo guy? He's a comedian, Bo Burnham.
Yeah.
And he's got that thing about nice hair, big shoes, you know.
Tailgates, tan lines, kegs, homies, fireball shots, Bud Light keg. That's a Bro Country song.
And it's ungenuine. You can tell that, like, the people that sing those songs, like he said, you can tell they're not going to show up in your town and drink a beer in your tailgate with you or care about you. And, you know, that's probably the most negative we're ever going to get on the podcast with that, but I kind of think it's good for us to at least explain why Bro Country,
the way we feel about it, the way we do, because there's a little misconception about what it is, I think, why we feel that way sometimes. And for me, it's two things. It's soullessness, and it's a lack of authenticity. Exactly. That's my biggest problem with Bro Country.
And pandering.
Yeah, that comes authenticity, I think. I'm one of those guys, I think I got a pretty good barometer of, like, when I see something and it's real, I can feel it and I can tell. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, I'm turned off, I don't like it, I walk away from it. I think in music, movies, TV, YouTube, anything you watch, you can tell when someone's putting on something. You can just feel it.
I'm going to equate Bro Country to, in my head, like when Limp Bizkit was big and all that stuff was big in the 2000s. Yeah. That's what it reminds me of.
And you know
it reminds me of
we had those CDs. And we enjoyed it because it was part of the cultural lexicon at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to look back at these bands the exact same way.
That's what I'm getting at, yeah.
I think 10 years from now, a lot of these guys will not hold the test of time. It'll be a trivia, a pop punch joke at a comedy night or a trivia thing.
And even though, like I said, we want to keep this a positive podcast, but I kind of think it's important for us to take a stand on Bro Country.
Authenticity. And there's a band that I'll get to on one of my lists in the future, not this one because their album just came out, a band called Midland, who I shared on Facebook.
It comes up later.
There we go. Midland's on here.
Yep. It was a
listener one?
It was a listener pick.
Oh, we'll talk about it when we get to it then. Because there's been a big debate about those guys and authenticity versus genuineness and who they are and what their deal is. We'll get to that when we cover Midland. So a little teaser for down the road on the show here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that being said, should we talk about our list this week?
Yeah, and before we get into it, I just wanted to bring up, there's been a few people that have approached me and asked me why the 15-second sound hits.
Luke and I don't want to get sued. That's about it. We want to keep the show going.
Yeah.
15-second sound bites, sir, that's kind of the fair use when it comes to copyright laws and RIAA and BMI and ASCAP and stuff. And we could probably get pinched still. This might be a little bit renegade what we're doing, but we're still going to do it till they tell us not to do it, or we'll find a different way, I guess. But,
yeah.
15 seconds is everything we've researched and read about and know about that we can use in fair use. So that's why it's the quick hit. But we'd like to give you, Luke's doing the editing. Thank you very much for doing the editing on the songs and giving us the good snippets of stuff, right?
I try, man.
Yeah, it's good.
Sometimes it's tough to know which parts to play.
And we'll communicate that too, of like, you know, I think this needs the intro, this needs the chorus, that kind of stuff, you know, so. But yeah, our list this week, as always, we have them on Facebook. You can also find them on the website, waytpodcast.com, right there. We have our albums of the month on there, our picks. You can send us submissions on there if you like as well. Find us on Facebook. You can find a link to our Spotify list there as well. You can play along, enjoy them for the weekend, enjoy them for the next week, and jam out to what we're listening to as well. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our list, man, my first one this week, when we did this episode 2 weeks ago, went to buy the guitar, which, love him, by the way.
Yeah, Brock's doing great.
Having a good time with that
thing. He's doing really good.
Love the guitar. So I showed you the song on the way to the guitar shop. Yes, and you were like, oh, man, I'm like, this will be on the next episode.
It grabs you right away.
And this came, again, through Spotify Radio. Picked a song I like, and it was on the list, and here we are now. So, and I've heard Andrew Crombs before. He's a kid out of, I think he's a Texas kid. Okay. Maybe Austin, I want to say. That's the place to be now for music. But he's got just a really cool sound and does his own thing, and he's talented as all get out. So this is Andrew Combs, a song called Part-Time Lovers, Full-Time Fools.
We were just part-time lovers, full-time fools. Maybe I should listen, maybe you should have seen.
So this is a good one to ask you because you listened to the song on my car on the way to the guitar shop. Mm-hmm. And right away you're like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. What part of that made you like instantly like know this is like a good tune? I like this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make it as least long winded as I can. Yeah. So, get nerdy, go for it. One thing happens to me when I know I like something to me. This is how I'll try to make an analogy for. You know when you meet a girl, a new gal.
Yep.
And, you know, she's single, you're single, you kind of hit it off right away, and, you know, whatever. And then the next time you see her, the first time you see her, when you've been thinking about her a whole bunch, when you see her, there's usually a split moment for me to where kind of like I feel it in my chest.
Yeah, your heart skips a little bit, it jumps a little bit.
But there's like this kind of nice, full, warm feeling, and then fuzzy. Like the world kind of stops for a second. You don't need anything else.
All you think about is her.
Yep, yeah. It's perfect. And for that split moment, that's the same way I feel when I hear something that I like. It happens to me every time.
Yeah.
So once I get that feeling, yep.
You're in.
So, I mean, I could go into detail about why and like whatever, but like that's the best way I can explain it.
He's got a really creamy voice. The lyrics in that song are really, really good. And I just dug the whole thing. It's got a cool tone. I told you that key change there at the chorus there. It's just a neat song.
And we talked a little bit about it last week. The you know those phrase ender songs? Mm-hmm. This is a great example. He did it so well.
Leads right up to it and then hits you between the eyes.
And what a... I think we talked about this too. What, man. Just what a song title.
Yeah, and it's something we've all been through. We've all been there. You've had that person that you think you're really, really into. And you're doing what you're doing, but then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is just bad news.
Mm-hmm.
We're just shouldn't be together. You know, one of those things. Yeah.
But it's so much fun.
Yeah. It always is.
Yeah.
Stuff you're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
So, Luke, what's on your list? What are you jamming to this week, man? What do you got going on?
This week, I've only got three bands on my list this week because I've been listening to so much. It's been tough. There hasn't been anything really that has stuck out for me outside the three albums that I have on here. This one is by a band called The Weeks called Talk Like That. Something new I found.
I like these guys.
I have lists on my on my Spotify that are just check this out later stuff, and I finally made it to them, and it hit me real hard, and I like the album a lot. So this is the first track from that album.
Here we go. It's The Weeks.
Night trains, no stars. It's bad brains, bad cops. Nobody's up from it's funny when she talks like that. Long life, good runs, and it takes one to know one.
Fun tune, fun band. I like the sound a lot.
That's pretty typical Luke right
now.
Who
are these guys? What's their story?
They are from Jacksonville, and they're pretty new. And it's weird. They have music that sounds like this, which I really like.
And
then
the other songs are nothing like that. They're more crunchy.
And
yeah.
Southern rocky sounding.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Jacksonville.
You know, and that's not quite my thing, but like this new album really grabbed me. I like that song, that rebellious, you know, throw care to the wind kind of vibe. Also, too, I'm a big Dinosaur Jr. and a big Hold Steady fan, which are kind of some underground.
I know
the
Hold
punky.
Steady. I don't know Dinosaur Jr., but I know Hold Steady for sure, though.
And like, he's got kind of a Craig Finn from the Hold Steady vibe.
That guy's intense.
Yeah, Craig Finn. Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw him was like in a Much Music one night on like a video. I'm like, this is like, I feel like I'm being like yelled at, like lectured here. Like, I should pay attention to this guy. He seems very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold Steady is definitely, it's a trip. They got a huge loyal following.
Oh, yeah.
Too. Yeah.
And they didn't, anyway. So that, and like I said, Dinosaur Jr., and I really like those bands. So that was kind of what grabbed me.
Is this their first album?
They've
been around a while?
No, or? I want to say this is their third.
Okay.
But they're only like, you know, 4 or 5 years into.
Sure.
To their thing.
I dug
like
it.
Said, this is new. I'd found it and it was on a list and finally made it to it and really liked it.
The
so.
Weeks. There you go.
Yeah.
That was Talk Like That. My next one, man, is one a lot of people are talking about. And I actually came across it from a listener request, or listener recommendation. John Lockhart out there. Shout out, John. Love this guy. Was talking about this band called Greta Van Fleet.
Who hasn't heard of this band lately?
I had no clue until I saw it recommended. I saw the Highway tune. And I fell down a rabbit hole, and I fell in love, and I don't know why they're not the biggest freaking thing in music right now. These kids should be huge. They should be everywhere.
I think people that
it's not
like
ready
this
for
music...
It?
No, it's... I can't remember the word for it.
You're going to say it, man. They're Led Zeppelin reborn.
They are. Well, it's hopefully it's not a... What's the word I'm looking for? It's not a... Anyway, do you remember when The Darkness came out?
Oh, yeah.
So...
You know, but it's not a gimmick.
Yeah, it's...
Darkness was a gimmick when it was all said
Yeah,
and
I think maybe people are just waiting. Not that it's a gimmick, it's...
So this is three brothers and a friend.
Yeah.
That's what this band is. And the kid says, we grew up in a household where I watched interviews about these guys. Their mom and dad had Otis Redding, Freddie Mercury in the house, Led Zeppelin. That's what we grew up on. That's just what... They're just kids that are born into music and around music. And they started a band. And they started an awesome band. It's incredible.
You know, I think... It's just people are waiting to see if this is the real deal. Because it sounds too good to be true. Not saying it isn't.
No, I know what you're saying, though. I guess see that now. You might say it like that. Like, maybe we've learned from our lesson from the past, like from The Darkness in some bands. Maybe we just don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here. Maybe we're just going to let these guys play out a little bit. I can see that, maybe.
I wish I could think of the word I was trying to think of.
Let's play them here. And let's tell everyone what we're talking about. This is The Weeks, and the one I picked is a song called Flower Power. Not The Weeks. That's your band. This is Greta Van Fleet with a song called Flower Power. Four kids from Michigan killing it. And they're young. They're babies.
Super young.
They're baby face. They're early 20s, late teens. They're just babies, man. And I worry about his voice holding up like that because what he does is so crazy. But live, it's dead on. Videos I've watched live.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. It's because it's only like, what, a 4-song kind of EP that's out right now.
Yep.
And there's kind of a really rocking one that our buddy
Highway
Jesse,
Tune's the big one. That's what everyone likes right now.
He'd show me that.
Who showed you that?
Jesse, buddy Jesse from our old DJ buddy. Anyway.
B-side Nesper.
B-side Nesper, yeah. I think you can't just have a voice like that and then, like, if he takes care of himself, because, like, that's upper echelon, like Freddie Mercury.
Remember the first time we heard Shinedown?
And, yeah.
Like, that guy can sing.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, it changes over time, but, man, right away it's like, holy cow, this dude can sing.
He's still got that voice every time I hear
him. But they've changed their sound so much.
Yeah, I like the first two albums.
They went super commercial the past few albums. Anyways, I'm upset if they don't become a monstrous thing, and if they're authentic, which I feel they are when I watch about them. I think they've got good management behind them, putting them out there, maybe like getting the word out on these guys, like good, you know, street team and stuff. But I think the kids are authentic. I think they're real about who they are and the music they're putting out there.
You don't make music like that, just to make it
because a record label wouldn't make it for you unless you're really good at it.
And
you're not going to walk if these four kids just walked into Nashville. Or anywhere right
LA
now.
LA or something.
And they said, we're four kids that want to be in a band. Give us a band. And the label gets a hold of them. They're not putting that out.
No.
Someone found these guys, and they're giving them a break, and they're going to blow up huge. I hope they blow up huge. Music needs that bad, I think.
Our buddy Ron put one of their songs up, too, in our list for when we ask people or whatever. And I commented back that I think they're one of the best-kept secrets in rock right now.
Yeah?
And
oh, man. I can't say enough good things about him. John Lockhart, the same guy that showed it, said he tweeted at me and says, they're bringing heroin back to rock and roll. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Yeah,
I give it, I could see maybe by their next album them getting some good traction.
I hope so, man. Because like I told someone, I think I was texting maybe Scar or someone, I said, if these guys aren't a big thing, I'll be very disappointed in America for not making them a huge deal. Because that's just rock and roll at its raw and finest, I think.
Well, and unfortunately, outside of people that just like rock, right now that's just not the focal point of music right now in America, and it's disappointing. So I can see why, not that I like it, but
why it might stumble, why it might not work. Yeah.
But they're good enough that they could write songs that good that it's just kind of undeniable.
We're 4 or 5 months into their EP being out, I think, and I feel like we're getting sort of groundswell at the moment a little bit.
Yeah.
Starting to come up.
Well, and is there anything as like an overnight sensation anymore nowadays?
No, there's a few, but there's not many though. There's some.
You know.
There's some. But not many though. Especially not rock and roll, because it's not such a big genre anymore. It really isn't.
Right.
Maybe in rap there is. I think rap there definitely is. Because of Spotify and stuff. And
well, it's tough because we don't have MTV anymore and stuff like that. Well, we do, nothing. But
YouTube, but if you're not looking hard for it, you're not going to see it. It's not going to be out there.
It might just take a little longer.
Trying to get past the million view closer video for the weekend or the Chainsmokers.
Yeah.
All right. Your next song, Luke, what are you jamming to right now? What do you got going on, buddy?
I've got another song by The Weeks from the same album called Ike.
This is the one with that horn section in the chorus?
Yeah, where all of a sudden now they kind of sound like the Mighty Mighty Boss
Stones. Yeah, yeah. I was like, wait, what? Oh, that, I like that. I dig that. That's cool. Here we go. This is Ike. Just keep your eyes ahead. Just keep your eyes ahead. The ground keeps moving. I think we underestimate how many people were affected by ska in the 90s.
Which, that was the third wave of ska, I believe.
It was, yeah. Original wave, 80s, and then that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, and it was the one that was very commercialized because of movies and stuff. And, you know, even No Doubt was ska to begin with.
Yeah, it didn't really catch. It was like there was two and a half years where ska was a big deal. And then
Mighty Mighty Boss Stones and Real Big
No
Fish.
No Doubt. And, yeah.
Yeah. Sublime. So I think we've underestimated how many people that our age that were hit by ska in the 90s. Because it's just like, it pops up and stuff sometimes. I'm not mad about it.
It's very rare that I run into someone that you bring up ska and it may not be their favorite, but they're like, oh yeah, I like ska.
Yeah, you can always throw it in a party and it always works.
Yeah, it's tough kind of not to like. But yeah, I don't really have much else to add to that one. It was just one of my other favorite peaks of that album.
I like these guys, they're cool. Yeah. The Weeks got a good sound, yeah, I really do. The next guy, he needs no introduction. We could talk about him a lot, though. Tom Petty. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
I want to know.
Why this song?
Yeah. Not that it's a bad song.
No, same thing. It came up on my Spotify radio on a station I was on. And I'm like, holy cow. I bet I haven't heard this song in almost 15, 20 years. And I forgot how much I really liked this song.
Right.
So Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers did the soundtrack to the movie She's All That. Is that the one or She's the One? What was it? She's the One. They did the whole soundtrack. They did the whole thing. And I just forgot what a cool song this was. And I just really loved it. I've been jamming to it nonstop since like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, it's a good song. I just was a little like, that's the one he
played? Yeah, why not You Wreck Me or, you know.
Anything off the Wildflowers album or any of the first four Heartbreakers albums.
Walls, Circus, that's what I'm jamming to right now. I just can't get enough of it. And I love the chorus of the song.
It makes a song for sure.
It's like the only, and I hate to be that guy because it's Tom Petty, but that's like the only good song on that whole soundtrack they wrote. And this one was the standout song. And it was a big single when it came out. It was all over radio when it came out in 97, 6. When was it? Something like that. All right, let's play. This is Tom Petty, Walls, Circus from the soundtrack for She's the One.
Because you got a heart so big, it could crush me.
Funny, all of a sudden they're listening to it. Brock sitting there singing the words, mouthing the words, dancing.
I love that song.
It's great.
If this puts me in a good mood, it puts me back in high school, kind of. It just puts you in a good spot.
Yeah,
that's a good tune, man.
It's great.
Tom Petty's another one. We could do a whole bonus episode on Tom Petty. Nothing but, I think.
I could see that for sure.
It could happen down the road for sure. All right, man. Let's bring it up. What's next on your list?
The next album that I got on here is the new The War on Drugs album, which these guys, I had heard their name kind of over the past couple of years here and there, people tell me to check them out.
I've never heard of them on stuff.
And I didn't really check much of it out just because you know how it is, just oodles and oodles mm-hmm. of music always to check out. So I never made it to it. And then I noticed this album was coming out here very recently, like, I don't know, about not quite a month ago. And I was like, I'm going to check them out. Once that album, that'll be my, because it's their major label release and I guess it's supposed to be great. And I put it in, and instead of just checking out the first song, I laid back in my recliner and listened to the whole album all the way through.
Nice.
And loved every song.
Dig it, man. That's cool. That's fun when that happens, when all of a sudden you're into something and it just hits you and you can go through an entire album and like it. That's a fun feeling. That's a good night right there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got a little bit of everything I love. I hear some Springsteen in there. I hear some Petty in there.
I'll have to dive into these guys a little more.
I hear some Dylan in there. I hear some Ryan Adams in there. And it's all like mixed in with this very modern.
That's what maybe threw me off the scent a little bit, is the modern production on it, the modern sound.
Yeah, but there's still a
it's
classic.
Not like an over the top, but there's definitely, he's got a little shine, little sheen to it a little bit.
He's a sound shaping master.
Yeah, there's, let's play. Let's get the War on Drugs here. See, now that you said those guys, I couldn't get past kind of the new wave sound to begin with.
Right.
Because definitely got that 80s new wave synth piano pop sound to it there. But then I guess when I noticed a little more, I can see where you're coming from in that one.
It's in there. And
I'll have to go back to that one, I think.
Yeah, I thought actually this was going to jump out at you, but maybe that those...
It's like we always talk about how melodies capture us sometimes, mm-hmm. or like harmony does. I think maybe just wasn't my ear, wasn't tickling my ear right away, but
yeah.
I'll go back to it for sure now that I... I'll pick it up a little bit.
Yeah, they...
And they got a great name for a band, too, the War on Drugs.
They were... I read a thing where he was talking about how when they were coming up with band names at that point, they were like writing like books and stuff and doing like a lot of typewriter stuff. And he said it just came up. Well, no, it was before the band. He just kept it in his back pocket because he was like, wow, what a great band name. I was like, yeah, he was pretty right.
There you go. My next one's a left field one. It came out of nowhere and hit me in the face. Was. Yeah. So again, a place I talk about a lot in my other podcast, I was at the Deadwood Tobacco Bar. And they got one of the greatest blues bands there live every Friday and Saturday, a band called the Brandon Sprague Band. Big shout out. And they play some of the coolest blues B-sides and random rare cuts you've ever heard from a band.
That's cool.
And they do it with their own cool touch on it. Well, they played a song that night that I had never heard of in my life. Steve Winwood, Eric Clapton, Can't Find My Way Home. And we're going to play it. And this song just, I love this song. This was such a cool tune.
Steve Winwood.
Yeah.
That was...
The Valerie guy.
Yeah, the
Roll With It guy.
Higher Love guy.
He's a huge blues dude.
Yeah. So I was interested because I saw Steve Winwood on there, and I was like, the Higher Love guy?
Why he's got a whole new layer to him.
Yeah, he used to play with the Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry.
I didn't know that
either.
I had no clue about that.
And...
He's a guitar virtuoso.
Yeah. And
piano. Yeah.
And also, too, after Cream...
Yeah.
Clapton stayed with Ginger Baker, and then they made Blind Faith, a little mm-hmm. six-song album, and there's like two songs I love off there. And then I didn't know Steve Winwood was in there. This dude's got 19,000 layers.
Yeah, and same with Clapton. Everyone knows Clapton for Wonderful Tonight and Layla and Cocaine, I Shot the Sheriff. Eric Clapton is one of the greatest friends of blues music in the past 30 years, probably.
Yeah.
40 years, I'd say. He's done more to survive and help that genre along and bring recognition to the artists in blues than a lot of people have. And his roots are blues. He's a blues artist.
He played with Ginger Baker. Baker, for those of you who
don't
know.
He did an album, B.B. King.
Yeah, Ginger Baker is like the G.G. Allen of the blues, well, just of the drum world.
That's so cool.
Yeah, Ginger Baker... beware of Ginger Baker. Watch that documentary if you get a chance.
I'll
that dude
watch that.
Is crazy. And It's fine. We'll get into another
day. That whole album
day.
Is cool, though. It's Winwood and Clapton live from Madison Square Garden. That entire album is rad.
That's crazy. That's the Higher Love guy. I would have never.
I said the same thing. Love. They got done, and I know the band. I booked the band up at Dickinson for a couple different things over the years. I know them pretty well. I said, "What was that song about going home?" And he's like, "Home." Oh, that's a Clapton and Winwood song we cover. I'm like, "Wait, Steve Winwood?" And I had a few beers in me and a few cigars, and I'm like, "Valerie?" I had no clue. And he's like, "Yeah." So I get home. I get back to the motel, pull up Spotify, found it. I haven't stopped listening to it since. That's the beauty of music.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes you back to a place, too. I think of that cigar bar, and I love going to that place. And it puts me in a mood. And there's a few songs he plays that I think he takes to a different level. The Brandon Sprague Band does down there.
Okay.
Like, they do a version of Call Me the Breeze. It's, like, totally rad, their own deal. They do another song on my list this week that didn't make this cut for the top five. They do a version of Unchain My Heart, the Joe Cocker song I put on there.
Really?
That's why it's on my list. But they do it in kind of the more smoky, sultry blues than jazzy pop version that Cocker does. So that's why that stuff makes the list. It's just how it works. That's how it hits you.
Yeah, Joe. That guy, what a voice.
Joe Cocker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He
was cool as shit. Cool as stuff, too. He was cool, dude.
Yeah. His the cover that they did at the Woodstock of the Beatles'
Little Help from My Friends.
Yeah.
He's making all the faces and contorting and moving around. And
that version, more consistently than a lot of songs, has given me chills. Just, you know, how he sings it.
Our buddy Johnny Holm?
Yeah.
Loves the song You Can Leave Your Hat On, Joe Cocker.
Really?
You can leave your hat on. Loves it.
Hmm.
Loves that song. He's also a big fan of the Tower of Power. Huey Lewis' old brass section.
Really?
Yeah. Tower Power is cool. They got a lot of cool songs. Digging on James Brown. There's a bonus one for you folks. Go out there and check it out.
Yeah.
I can do that all day. Just the things that are hitting my head, you know, and where it takes you. That's the beauty of music, man. The memories and the places and the people, and that's why we love it. It's great. Definitely.
Excuse me.
All right, Luke. So next up on your list, we're back to the War on Drugs.
Yeah.
I like
it. And it was tough, man. I could have put this whole album on here, but I just went with a few. This one's called Pain. It's a slower jam on there. I guess we can listen to it.
Yeah, check it out. So that's the one you put of his in there I really enjoyed the most. I get a very Fleetwood Mac vibe from that song.
Yeah, he took all them 70s artists, and like Ryan Adams too, but he's kind of a 70s sounding guy, and just put it in a sandwich that's very modern. And I don't know, there's something about when I hear it, it feels like home when I hear it, and I can just
sit there. It's what you want out of music when you want it. You want that.
Well, not
at the
so time much.
When you listen to it. That's what, yeah, you're, that's, yeah, that's,
yeah,
what you,
I get
hear.
What you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you want.
And yeah, he just and he executes his ideas so well, you know, and
like,
so thoroughly.
I'll go back to it again. The production's very good on this music he puts out. It's very shiny, very glossy, which sometimes can be a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with what he does, I think it adds a lot to it. It helps it.
Well, there's so many layers of instruments.
Yeah, and you need to hear them all properly, not muddled up. We talk about I like a lot of the analog stuff, you know, mm-hmm. the old school tradition. But I think that wouldn't work for a guy like this because you need to. It needs to be.
99% sure that this was probably recorded reel to reel. It's just
the way they mixed it was very,
yeah, and the sounds he came up with, he shapes the tones of these sounds so well that they fit together that it kind of has that glossy feel. But
if he's doing that non-digitally, that's impressive. That's behind. I imagine it'd be pretty freaking hard to do.
No, because I mean, you look at the 80s. There was a lot of glossy stuff in the 80s. Yeah. And most of that was, almost all of it was reel to reel. I mean, digital didn't really come around and take off till about 99.
I need to work on the subject, I guess. But it's got a very nice, appealing sound to it. His stuff does.
I can just tell because there's what happens between the two is when it's digitally, there's no, it is what it is. Digital is actually the most perfect way you can hear music. And there's nothing changed about it. Nothing's colored. And the misconception is digital is not bad. It's just when you start listening to MP3s or those ACC files, any of that stuff.
It's compressed music.
There's this algorithm where they put in white noise where they think that your ear can't tell the difference in it so they can compress it harder. Mm-hmm. And so you start missing out on stuff and it doesn't sound as full and rich. It just kind of sounds loud. And it's kind of an illusion to where back in that era when it's like all tape, it does this like smearing effect to like the top and low end to where it makes everything a little creamier, a little bit more warm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I can tell.
Warm is the sound we always go back to. Warm.
Yeah,
you
warm.
Have that warm, rich feeling music.
Warm and creamy.
Warm and creamy. There we go. So my last one this week on my list is a dude that I've been jamming on for a long time. You know, it's like you put Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan in a blender and had a little baby, and out came Gary Clark Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's one of the best guitar players going today. One of the best, brightest things about music today going right now. This guy's super, super, stupid talented, incredible. And I love what he's doing out there. He's an Austin City guy, Austin, Texas guy. And he's just, everything he puts out, I'm just a big fan of. I love this guy.
I'd never heard of him, but I liked it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That caught me. That surprises me.
Well, blues-based sounding stuff, I like it, but I don't gravitate towards
sure.
it.
Sure. So okay.
I normally only catch it when other people play it.
Sure. All right. Well, let's play it for everyone. This is a song called When My Train Pulls In by Gary Clark Jr.
Smokestack lightning. That's what I think right away.
Right? He just
very, very bluesy traditionally.
You need to check out some of his live stuff. He shreds, man.
Oh, I believe
when he plays. I had a conversation with somebody after the Jason Isbell concert because he's from Texas and he's a big music buff. He loves music, and I said, "You like Gary Clark Jr.?" He goes, "Who the hell doesn't?" Stevie Ray Vaughan. Jimi Hendrix, that's going on. He's right there. I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. It's Vaughn and Hendrix had a baby, and here came Gary Clark Jr.
I will have to check. I'll just check this album out.
That
album
great.
Did you say this
great.
Is the album to check
that's
out?
That's the album to check out. There's also a live album that's really good out there, too. And I think he's going to have a moment here pretty quick. There's, I think it's, is it the new, some new Disney movie coming out he did a song on the soundtrack for?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's about to have a big moment with that, because he did the guitar playing on it, some singing, and it's like a... I think it's going to be huge.
How old is this guy as far as being in the industry?
Music industry?
Yeah.
Probably been around 8-9 years, something like that.
Hmm.
Big Austin guy, big South by... People found him at South by Southwest. He's got a really good Austin City Limits out there if you want to find on YouTube. A lot of good stuff.
Does a lot of his stuff sound like that song?
A lot of it does, yeah.
So, essentially, I could get it because this is going to be not quite super off topic, but I really liked the Black Keys when they came out. But
sure.
They have, over time, kind of went in a direction that...
It's funny you mentioned that, because that's on my listener pick this
we'll
week.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
But like I said, blue stuff, it's either grabs me or doesn't. And Black Keys, you know, was enough that I bought the Brothers album
sure.
and kind of went backwards a little bit. And then everything since then's kind of made me not want to listen to him as much. Not saying it's bad, and I'm not saying it's,
we'll
it's
talk
whatever.
About, when we get to Black Keys, we'll talk about that. I know you're going with that one on Black Keys.
That guy... sounds like he's kind of picking up the slack.
He's amazing. And he's traditional, and he's just a stud. His live guitar playing is going to blow your mind when you watch him play.
Well, I'm down.
The way he manipulates that fretboard, and he just really works. He's really, really good.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's an inspiration to me right now. Like, watching him play, I'm like, oh, someday I'm going to play guitar like that. Someday, very far down the road, I'll play guitar like that guy. All right, man, it's time for your last song of the week, your fifth one out of your top ten. What do you got, guy? What's our
I've
last
got,
one?
I've got a Welsh artist called Novo Amor.
This is very soothing music.
Yeah.
This is like a nice, crisp fall night to turn this on in the fireplace and hang out.
Yeah, it's very in the vein of
you mentioned
Bon Iver.
Bon Iver, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing special. I really like this guy. I've followed him for a while, and... this little album thingy came out back like in May or something. Yeah. And it's very fall sounding. So I just put it off in the back burner.
Wait for the crisp weather.
Yeah, wait for the crisp weather. Put it on. Loved it. Listened to it like 3 times through.
Same way. Like, there's no Jimmy Buffett played in my house past September.
No.
not until April.
Exactly.
It's not Jimmy Buffett isn't winter music, you know? It's just how
I mean,
you
can play it, but you're just kind of like, eh.
It's like an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
I can't have a suntan. I can't golf. Got to wear socks. It doesn't work, you know? So some songs just seasonally fit better than others do. And
yeah.
This is one of those, I think.
I don't know why he would release this out. Anyway, you can. Anyway, why he would release it in the
must
spring.
Have a bad label or something.
Well, all of his stuff. Any, yeah.
Here we go. soothing, mellow, chill.
Yeah.
You name it, it's there.
You can just close your eyes and be in it. He also, I really like music like Sigaros or Sigaros, however you pronounce that, Explosions in the Sky. Mm-hmm. Some of the...
Didn't you see them in concert one time?
No, I wish.
I thought you did.
I wish.
I know you're a big fan of theirs, though.
Yeah.
That you had just, a moment where you were really new, I know, for a while.
I still am. I'd say I probably have more Sigaros vinyl than anything, I would say. But they're hard to find, so when I would find them, I'd... Anyway, yeah, I like that. Kind of very artsy, you know, puts you in a mood stuff, and he kind of fits in that little pocket pretty well for me. And
very cool.
I wanted to share him with everybody.
There's our list, man. You can find him on Spotify, find him on our social media, find him on our website, waylt-podcast.com. Luke, what was your favorite song on my list this week? What did you enjoy the most?
Well, probably Ryan Adams, even though we didn't chat about... I don't know.
Go with Ryan Adams, because we need to talk about him a little bit.
It's up between that one and the Andrew Combs one.
So, yeah, and there's another Andrew Combs song there I love a lot. That was hard enough putting that Emily song on there. Of course, you can listen to the whole list anytime you want. We picked top five to keep the show along a certain timeline. That Ryan Adams song is just...
It's what he does.
Yeah, you know, I've heard it before. I think you showed it to me a couple years ago.
I might have.
But I've always had it on my Spotify and my stuff. And I was... we've been talking about him so much on the last couple episodes because of the Jason Isbell comparisons, the parallels they have, that I'm like, I should listen to Ryan Adams tonight. And I listened to that song, and I forgot how good it was. It's just incredible. And, you know, we were talking about how in the last episode how you meet, like, someone, a friend or a girl, and you're going to show them your music for the first time, and you're kind of nervous about it because that could be a deal breaker. There's a gal I've been talking to. We've been hanging out, you know, and I showed her some Jason Isbell the other night, and I'm like, here we go. I'm like, I'm watching her because I made her a playlist and she dug it all. But I'm like, we're going to watch Jason Isbell Cover Me Up live. I'm going to see how you react here. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. Within 30 seconds, we were good. But there's that moment where you're that nervousness. So I showed her that song too. And again, it's like, she's like, this is incredible. I'm like, oh, that stuff's great. She goes, why isn't this not being played on radio? And I'm like, because radio sucks. Find the good stuff. You got to go out and look for it. And that's, you know, what we're doing.
Yeah, that's...
He's incredible.
He is. I'm going to save it. I will eventually.
I need to get more into him. I've only scratched the surface on Ryan Adams. I need a deep dive.
We were talking prior to this show.
He's got a bajillion albums out.
Yeah, he's been making an album a year, if not 2 years, since 2000. So I want to say he's got like 20 or 21, besides not even singles and little EPs. Yeah. A dude...
He's a workhorse.
It's impossible even to scratch the surface.
Even when he almost lost his hearing or something, he kept going. He's incredible.
Well, what it was is he has Meniere's disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, Ryan Adams. Yeah. So that's your favorite song on my list this week is Ryan Adams.
Yeah. Come pick really me up. Trying to hold back from just...
That's okay. We'll save it for another Ryan Adams episode.
Yeah.
We'll have a teaser at the end of this episode about our next episode.
Yeah.
We have a big announcement for you guys.
You know what would be fun is just to get it out of the way and get it out of our systems. Down the road, we should do like a half Isabel. You do all your favorite Isabels, and I
half
do all
Adams.
My half Adams,
we'll
and then
that.
We can just
I think that's make, good.
Get it out of our systems.
My favorite song on your list was that "Pain" by the War on Drugs.
Oh, nice!
Favorite song on the list. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, that's.
I think it's because it gave me a Fleetwood Mac vibe to it, and I've been jamming on Fleetwood Mac lately a lot too.
Ooh, which album?
You put me on the spot. The one with
Rumors.
Rumors, yeah,
yeah.
That's the white one. That's the white one with. Yeah,
That's the Fleetwood Mac album. I mean, the other one is good too, but
say that you love me, Secondhand News. Those are the two I've been jamming on lately.
They had a live album that came out in the mid '90s.
Yes, that was the Eagles' Health Rose Over, but they came back.
Yeah,
and it was like everyone's parents bought that album
because
that was their band. And they bought that and Eagles Hell Froze Over. They had those two albums because these bands will never get back together. And they got back together in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought that was a great... That's the album that made me understand and like Fleetwood Mac was that live 90s one.
What's it called again?
I'm going to have to...
Well, then they came out with The Dance 97. That was their big comeback album. Anyways, I've been jamming to the Rumors album and the Fleetwood Mac album. That's what I've been jamming to lately.
I'm going to have to find out. We're going to have to do some bad radio here.
I love Secondhand News. That's a good song. Bom, 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 bicka, bicka, bom, bom, bom. That's good stuff.
Well, I can't believe they don't have it on here. Anyway, it was the 90s live album.
Yeah, Fleetwood Mac. So yeah, because the pain really gave me that, just put me in the mood a little bit there. Yeah.
He knows that stuff too well.
Definitely, man. Listener picks. This is the fun part. I love this. And we've had some good stuff, some good conversation on Facebook and elsewhere. People are really giving us their stuff and hitting us with their favorites, and it's been great, man.
Yeah, please keep sharing that.
Keep it. Share our links. Comment on our stuff. We do it on our personal pages, too. That's cool. Yep. As long as you're participating and giving us what you're listening to, that's what the show's all about, sharing music with your friends and a network of people.
And also, too, like, I enjoy it because there's a lot of stuff on here that, you know, I haven't heard of, or I wouldn't find, and I go and I listen to it, and then I go and I deep on everything anybody's put up.
Yep. Yeah. That, I mean, I wouldn't have known Greta Van Fleet if not for the show.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe eventually I would have, but right now, it wouldn't have happened yet. So shout out to John Locker, the guy sharing Greta Van Fleet on our on our deal. It's been great. So,
well, actually, he's the first one up again on your pick,
John.
Or no, it wasn't your pick. It was
shout out to our buddy John. John has a tattoo that says "I love." I think it's "I love music" or "Music is life," something like that.
Okay.
John loves music, and John was also born about, I'd say born about 20 years. He should be an '80s metalhead. He'd fit.
Oh,
right
really?
In. He loves Skid Row and stuff. He'd fit right in. That's his deal. Motley Crue and all that stuff. And hell yeah. So John gave us one. This is an artist, I'll admit, that I've been a little up and down on. And didn't know how to take him sometimes. I think I just couldn't get past the exterior. But when you dive into it. This hardworking dude doing his own thing, kicking some butt.
Yeah.
Yellow Wolf.
Yellow Wolf.
Let's
Yellow
play it
Wolf.
Quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's play a song called Daylight by Yellow Wolf.
Cause when the raindrops falling on that old tin roof, I pour myself a glass of liquor and I get the blues. To get down, to get down, I get loaded down. To get down, I get loaded. Call me what you want, but don't call past two. Unless you got some liquor to contribute.
Something you wouldn't expect from us. But that was on our list. I like that song a lot.
Well, that's what's so great about the listeners' picks is we can get more than just our point of view because there's so much music. And I had a tough time with Yellow Wolf when he came out. Not because I thought he was bad. It's just I'm very picky when it comes to hip-hop. I'm extremely picky and I'm very snooty just because I don't listen to a lot of it. So I like what I like. Mm-hmm. When I don't, I don't. And he came out. And also around that time, all of a sudden, that Machine Gun Kelly was popular.
White
and a couple other
rappers were huge that time.
You know,
there was a lot of them,
very fast rapping.
Yeah,
fast rapping,
chat twos, the whole look. It was a thing. It was for a bit.
That's what it felt like, because it was just this
Yellow
new
Wolf
thing.
I think he stood the test of time. This guy has.
He figured out a vein for himself that I noticed it when that "Till It's Gone" song came out.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah,
shout out Sons of Anarchy.
So much good. Yeah, but that was what changed my mind. He's what you know. This is going to be kind of not mean. But I feel like he's doing what Post Malone wants to do. Not in what how Post sounds, but you know how Post keeps talking about, I'm going to start doing more country and I want to introduce country. Sorry, Yellow Wolf's already there.
Post Malone played Nirvana at one of his shows lately and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking away from Post. I drink the Kool-Aid and there's some songs I like
Post,
that he does. But
Post has broken Spotify. He's broken YouTube. He's got million views. He's the most streamed artist in Spotify of all time right now, which is insane to me. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, obviously, where there's smoke, there's fire, and he's doing something right that I don't quite grasp, and I'll recognize that. It's not my cup of tea, but he's doing something right, and people are really enjoying Post Malone a lot.
He has captured the vibe of popular music nowadays, outside of, like, country, because I feel like country and popular music are neck
and
neck.
And it's also crazy, because, like, Post Malone's not being played on Hot 97.5. He's not being played on Sirius Hits 1, but he's the most streamed artist on the Spotify. It's crazy.
Well, it's a true testament to those radio stations and how they do that. You know,
yeah.
He probably doesn't. Anyway, my point being is I think Post kind of has figured out not the formula, but he's figured out like where everybody's wanting to hear. Because music, especially with that, I don't think it's so much about, I mean, I know the words are important, but vibe is like this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear, like where it'd be Lil Uzi and all those people.
You like Kendrick Lamar?
I love Kendrick Lamar.
I like Kendrick too. I love Kendrick. I jammed that Humble album, Damn, for a month straight when it came out. That album made me want to run through a brick wall. I love that album.
The album before that I have on vinyl, To Pimp a Butterfly. That album is as
breakthrough.
That album is like.
Remember the Grammy performance with the chains and the prison outfit and stuff? That was really big for him, too.
Yeah, I would say Kendrick's probably my favorite. I would throw Logic in there, too, and maybe a little bit of Lil Uzi if I've had a few drinks.
You like Future?
No.
I don't either. I don't really.
But it's, I mean, just because say no doesn't mean it's bad. It just
I was surprised. I made a face is why we did that. I made like a little face for your listeners at home. I guess I thought because he's kind of everyone goes the same like artist. It's like Future, Kendrick, Uzi, Lil Vert. It's like the same thing always kind of. So I don't know enough about Future to talk about him. I know people like the guy a lot, but.
Like I said, I'm very picky and weird. But anyway, back to Yellow Wolf.
Yeah.
Or Yellow Wolf. I just feel like where Post keeps talking he wants to go, in my head I'm like, Yellow Wolf's already kind of there. He's already cornered the
market, yeah.
Because what a smart dude. Like, he really feels genuine now. Before, he didn't feel genuine to me.
Well,
now
feels genuine. If you look, he had a failed hiccup, or not hiccup, but a failed thing with Kid Rock. He tried to do a single like 10 years ago. Didn't work. He's trying to do some of that stuff, and I think it took him a while to figure out who he wants to be and who he is. Mm-hmm. Now that he's there, he's definitely like digging his heels in and being unapologetically Yellow Wolf, whoever he is, which is cool. And he's got a huge, huge following. People love that guy. They're passionate about that guy, which is great. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, next listener pick. We talked about these guys briefly, a band called Midland. Their first LP came out this week, and... I love these guys.
This one's from a Jesse, by the way, before I forget. Yeah. And that's the third Jesse. We must have a lot of Jessies that listen to the show because. But anyway. Yeah.
Let's play it. The Midland, this song called Lonely for You Only. I shared these guys on Facebook yesterday, I think it was, and I said, mm-hmm. if you like late 80s, early 90s country, Alan Jackson, Dwight Yoakam, the Mavericks, some of that stuff, this is the band for you.
Yeah.
These guys are really good. And we're going to get to this really quick because there was a thing about them. Someone was talking about if they're authentic or not. If these guys
That was my question.
Yes. Here's the deal, though. They all have different backgrounds. There are three guys that are – one's from California, I think one's from New York, one's from Georgia, and – they've all been in bands for the past, 15 years of their lives, their whole life, different bands variously, bar bands, honky-tonk bands, whatever. And they get together and they meet each other, and one was a former male model. One was a video director. He directed a Bruno Mars video. They all have different backgrounds, but they get together, and this is the sound they created. And I think you can just tell, like, this is the music they want to make. This is who they are.
Well, that's what was tough for me because I love it. That's the type
They're wearing the 70s country shirts and the hats. And is it a gimmick or is it real? I think it's real as it gets.
So spot on how
they're not like the Chris Stapleton real, but they're like these are guys that love that AM country, early 90s country sound, and they want to do it and do it right. And they're doing it fantastically, I think.
Yeah, if I were to be in a country band and could pick the type of music I were to make, that's exactly what it would be.
It's great. It's got the... One thing people love about 90s country so much, I think, is harmony. There's a lot of harmony in 90s country. And the choruses were just beautiful. Everything was. And this has that. And it has the steel guitar. It has a real rich steel guitar, which was a staple of anything in the 80s and 90s. That was huge in those songs. You don't hear a lot of that anymore. It was cool.
Just the tempo, and I just sounded too good to be true to me. I didn't know if this was just manufactured.
Or if it was like a gimmick, like a tribute, like here's a one-off from these guys trying to be something. They're slick. They have a look. Some people think they're poking fun at country. I don't think so. I think they just know that we need to stand out, so we're going to wear these ridiculous 70s silk cowboy country western floral shirts. We're gonna be Rhinestone Cowboy. This album, you could pluck this album and throw it on Rhinestone Cowboy or Urban Cowboy. Uh-huh. It fit right in. You could drop it right there. That's that sound they have.
I'll have to check it out. But, with how they dress, though, I mean, like, look at, let's say you and me started a band. And we were hanging out, having a few beers after a practice, and we like it. And someone says, what we should do? We should wear it.
Exactly.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
Exactly.
Why not?
And the one guy's wife is a photographer. They took some really interesting, photos for their albums and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're doing different stuff. And they're trying. And they directed their own music video. So their background's their background. I think it's going to help them ultimately because they have acknowledged and experienced different parts of their life. They talked about how Malcolm Gladwell at all? You know who he is?
No.
He's a writer and he has a book called The Outliers. And he has a rule about the 10,000 hour rule. Anything in life has done it for 10,000 hours where they already be really good at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This band says we have 10,000 hours, but it's just different places, not all together one band. We've all been in bands. We've been playing music our whole lives. We've been directing music videos, producing music, and now our 10,000 hours come together to form this, and this is where we're at in life. It's who we are. I respect them a lot because they're not shaming their past, but they're also saying it's helped us become these guys we are now making Midland, which is really cool.
I love the band name. I love that song. I haven't checked out anymore now that I know it's not a
shout out
gimmick.
Shout out to a song in Midland called This Old Heart, which has a really cool like just guitar lick in it, and it's just a cool tune. And it's Eagles, Mavericks, you know, Alan Jackson, all kind of put in a blender, and it's just a beautiful sound they have.
Yeah,
it's really good. Listener picks. What's our next one we got here? We have a song. Who picked this?
Which one is it?
Drive All Night.
This was our buddy Jeffrey, and I, because it wasn't my pick, but Glenn.
I love this song.
Yeah.
Glenn Hanser, Eddie Vedder, and Jake Clemens. This was on Lost Dogs, the Pearl Jam uncut, unreleased album back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I love this song.
Yeah, old Bruce Springsteen song.
I didn't see this put in there. Let's play this. Yeah. Drive All Night. Let's go. This is...
I swear I'd drive all night again just to buy you some shoes and to taste your tender charm.
Okay, so I have my songs mixed up. That wasn't on Lost Dogs.
Yeah, I was.
I think it's a song called "Drove All Night" on Lost Dogs. Anyways,
maybe. Yeah, that's an old Bruce Springsteen song from The River.
Oh, holy cow! How'd that get past me?
And it's Glenn Hanser. That dude. Sorry, keep going.
No, you go. You go.
I was just gonna say that guy. I feel as songwriters go from the past 10, say maybe a little more years, he's up there with all of them. He was in a show, a movie called Once, that was phenomenal. He's been doing his thing, and I don't know, I've never heard anything from him that I wasn't like...
Do you know who Jake Clemens is?
No, I don't.
Who Clarence Clemens' nephew.
Really?
The big man from the E Street Band?
Yeah.
And he plays sax on the tour with Bruce now.
Yeah.
He took his uncle's job. I mean, he didn't take it, but he was given it. Yeah. Jake Clemens is Jakey. Bruce calls him Jakey. Come on, Jakey, play that song.
That's really cool that they kept it in the family.
It's cool, and he's amazing, too. When he does the I'm Born to Run, he kills it. The kid's really good.
It's in the blood.
It's natural. You can tell like his uncle like taught him. You can just tell. It's like he plays the same way. It's really cool.
Yeah. I do need to make a shout-out for that Once movie. Have you ever seen that movie?
I don't think I have. It's not ringing a bell.
Have to one day sit down and watch that.
Right.
It's a movie about a struggling street musician trying to deal with some personal problems and kind of make his way out of the job he's working in. He meets this lady who plays, and it's super cool movie. Great soundtrack. It was around early 2000s, and check it out Once. Glenn Hansard is on there too.
That's right. Now that I saw the album cover, that's the one Jeff shared. I think because I was in Sioux Falls and that came out. I must have saw that one.
And I didn't pick it because of my other pick because I liked it more, but I was like, God, I hope that makes another random picks. So
here's now for the ones we picked. These are the ones that Luke and I picked. The first three out of our five listener picks, we just close our eyes, scroll through the list, hit a button, there it is, right? So this next one is one that my buddy Dan Prentzer shared. Scranton Boys Love Music.
Yeah.
Kid's talented too. He's really cool. Good taste in pro wrestling as well, Dan.
Really?
He puts out the Black Keys on here, an old school, and I never heard of. And I'll be honest, I'm a little Black Keys ignorant. I never got into these guys when they first came out. Mm-hmm. And when I got into stuff that started getting Grammy Awards and being played a lot the past couple albums, it's a little too much for me on the production side. The vocals are overdone. There's just a little too much going on for me. I don't like all the effects and tricks, I guess.
Sure.
But this is some bluesy rock, and I love it. A song called Stack Shot Billy by the Black Keys. We'll play one right here for you right now. That sent me on a rabbit hole journey on all the old Black Keys stuff, and I fell in love.
Yeah, that's...
You know, it just missed me, I guess, when they first came out. It just was maybe two chips in the night back then, but...
Also, too, I mean, everybody's had music that the first few times they hear it or hear a bunch of it, it's kind of whatever, and then that hits them at the right time in the right place.
And these guys came out, mid-2000s, early 2000s they first came out?
2004.
So let's talk about it real quick, because there's a lot of stuff from back then that would have got past us because we didn't have Spotify or any of this stuff. No. How would you find it? I mean, unless, I mean, their local radio wasn't playing. It wasn't playing on Sirius XM. So unless you had a friend that was like a music nerd like we are, it might have missed you.
Lived in Chicago or wherever.
They play the theaters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they did the big circuits. There's an alt music scene in a town like that. It might have just missed you like it would have us out here.
Mm-hmm.
So dig it. Old Black Keys, much respect. Because the new stuff just didn't really please my ears, I guess.
It's not. It's just nothing grabs me about the new stuff. And maybe it's just beyond me a little bit, you know, but yeah, the new stuff.
Nothing. I guess for me it goes back to all the vocal effects.
Maybe that's what it
is. I just want to hear you sing. I don't want to hear all the stuff.
Well, good songs are good songs. And yeah. I feel that, you know, whether there's a bunch of effects on a song or it's dry, a good song just always sounds like a good song.
The Alabama Shakes, they're a good example of that, I think.
Though I love Alabama Shakes. Yeah. Almost made it onto my list last week.
She can sing.
Yeah, wow. She can.
All right, man. Well, this is your pick for listener picks. Your favorite one of theirs. What do you got?
See No Evil by The Legendary Television.
Let's do it. Old school punk.
Yeah, that's back in the... That's from Tyler.
That's when you got your denim and your buttons on it and your patches. That's old school punk.
That's CBGBs. Yep. Yep, back with Blondie and
yeah.
And the Ramones and Talking Heads and all that. And I love that album, Marquee Moon. Oh.
Hey, this is ignorance on my part. The CBGs, did it get saved when it was about to close down and stuff? They ever figure that deal out?
I haven't heard. I think it's closed now.
There was a big thing with that for a while.
What had happened was, like, all the bands, I think, put up money or something like that.
That's cool, because a lot of bands came out of there and made a lot of money.
And that's kind of what happened.
That's good to hear.
I can't remember how it... There's a movie that describes it that the guy from the first Die Hard, the bad guy from the first Die Hard.
The Russian?
Yeah, he plays the owner of the CBGBs, and it's on Netflix, I believe.
I'll have to find it. That's cool.
That's called CB. It's really cool. But
very cool.
Yeah. It's... I could go in on television, but I'll save that for another day. That's just the beginnings.
Yeah, you love old school punk.
I do.
It puts you in a place. I can tell you love that stuff. It's cool. Yeah. It's very cool. Speaking of putting us in a place, we're going to talk about our next week, or not next week, in 2 weeks, what we're going to do, folks. We're going to do something cool. We're going to rip the script up, and we're going to pay respects to a band that we both adore, Pearl Jam. We're going to do a deep dive on Pearl Jam.
Deep dive.
We're going to extend our list to 15 songs. We're probably going to talk about our list in depth, I'd say.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
And we're going to do
in
it
a good way.
We're going to make it a two-part episode, though. So we'll have a bonus episode in 2 weeks, but the new episode in 3 weeks. New episode in 2 weeks, bonus episode the week after that, folks. So we're going to deep dive on Pearl Jam. We want people to share with us on social media. We'll put a post out there. Their favorite Pearl Jam stuff and anything about Pearl Jam they like. Let's talk about it. Because this time of year to me is Pearl Jam time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I really get in the full gear. I watch 20 almost every year this time of year. And I'll go back and watch the Madison Square Garden concert and all that
and
stuff.
Touring and touring band. I like touring band really too. Cool.
Yeah, I'll just watch anything. Live on Two Legs, you name it. We'll watch the whole thing. So we're going to deep dive on Pearl Jam, and I cannot wait. And we've been talking over text about how hard it is to do 10s, so we're doing 15. Because
mm-hmm.
If we're just doing 10 songs, okay, half a Yield fills that list up. I mean, really. So, you know, and half a Vitology and half a NoCo, and we can go on and on. We could do a top 20, maybe. Maybe we will. I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah,
we're going to deep dive in Pearl Jam our next episode. It's going to be exclusively Pearl Jam. I cannot wait to talk about Pearl Jam in depth on this show.
That might be a little long of an episode.
Because we have a lot of personal history with Pearl Jam, too, between the two of us. Our life together is friendship and everything, and it's going to be a lot of stuff to talk about, which is going to be really cool, I think.
Yeah, we'll save those stories for 2 weeks.
The quesadilla grilled cheese and the bottle of wine. And
Brock coming home.
All that
little,
stuff.
Little lit up at midnight.
Sim Street apartment.
Yep. We'll save them for next time.
It's going to be awesome, man. Very cool. Thanks to all our people out there liking the show on Facebook and sharing the show, leaving us reviews. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Subscribe. If you subscribe, that helps us a lot, folks. Rate, review, subscribe, like us on Facebook, share the links, go to the website, WAYLTpodcast.com. You can find links to social media on there, to Spotify, and to our albums of the month. Luke, we're cooking right on. This is our third episode already.
Yeah.
We're cooking right along.
It's turning into something kind of cool, I think.
It is. It's very organic and very fun and very natural, and it's just easy to talk about music all day because music is life.
Yeah.
It is, for sure. All right, folks, till next time, this is Brock White, Luke Jansky. We want to know, what are you listening to?